Welcome to the inquiry. You are by now familiar with the form. The empty cushion is for one of you to come with a question, perhaps about your practice, perhaps about something that you've heard. It could be a question about the Dharma, understanding, or it could be perhaps an exploration of an experience or an issue in your life. Please make it a brief question if you can. And also not a theoretical one, but rather something that's quite relevant and direct in terms of your practice and understanding. At any time, you may say thank you and leave, or I may say thank you and you also leave. The power of the bell. You'll notice there's a couple of recorders here, one for Tovana and one for myself. If your inquiry is recorded, then it is open to the general public. If you wish for it not to be recorded, then please just say so and we'll turn off the recording. That's not a problem. In between each inquiry, there'll be some quiet time. And then I'll hit the bell and ask for the next person to come. So let's just sit quietly together.
In the past, good experience in meditation.
Yes.
And lately, I couldn't go back to deep meditation for a few months.
Yes.
My question to you is how to go through it, how to come over it.
How to overcome the fact that in the past you've had some deep meditations?
No, no.
No, no, no.
But when I stuck, and cannot go deep.
Yes. When you're stuck, what is your attitude or view about it?
I had a lot of pain in my knees.
Yes.
I couldn't concentrate.
Is this here? Or?
It starts now, it's gone. I thought.
Okay. So now there isn't a problem.
No. Not a problem.
But you think it might be. This stuckness might be lying in wait for you.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not thinking like this.
Okay. So, reflecting back on the stuckness, where did the sense of I reveal itself? Where was it entangled?
Just that I cannot.
Yes. So the view was I cannot access the depth of experience I've had before. Was there a fear?
I'm not aware of it.
Yes. Yes.
It's just that I was all the time on the surface.
All the time?
On the surface.
I didn't understand that.
On the surface?
On the surface. Sorry, thank you. You were all the time on the surface. Okay, so tell me about previously, what had you understood? You'd been on a journey, I take it, a spiritual journey.
Understood clearly that there is some forces that can that guide me.
Yes.
And there are times that I'm fully with them.
Yeah.
Follow
yes.
it.
Yes.
Listen to it. And there
yes.
are times that I'm
yes.
far away from it.
Yes.
But I cannot. When I'm far away, I don't know how to
get back again.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have in the past some spiritual experiences that were rather open and free, and a sense of what? Tell us.
Of love.
Yes.
Of happiness.
Yes.
Very rarely oneness.
Yes.
But the stream it take me
yes.
to the right place.
Yes. So there was a stream like the river of awakening that runs all the way to the sea.
Yes.
Okay. Except that somehow something happened and you forgot it. So the I thought was caught up somewhere. The clinging that we have veils our freedom, masks that which we have discovered before.
Can you repeat it, please?
The clinging that we have to the sense of I gets caught somewhere, and then that which we knew before is veiled or covered. Okay? So we go to India, we have fantastic experiences, or we come to a retreat and our heart opens like never before, and we think, oh wow, this is amazing. We go home, 3 minutes with our family, and there we are again, entangled in the good old self. Or, in other ways, with the body, with the mind, with changes in circumstance. So, where did you get caught up?
I feel it was a process of getting away from the stream. From
yes.
the direction,
yes.
it wasn't one
yes.
point.
Okay.
And later on, it was like one big shock or something. But
yes.
the process was slowly go away from the stream
yes.
awareness.
Yes, yes. So we have sometimes a deep knowing, and our task is to keep on coming back to this deep knowing over and over again. And I'm not so interested in the stuckness, actually. I'm actually interested in what you've discovered here. So, please say.
It's appeared to me. I cannot call it discovery.
It appeared. So something appeared.
It's sloppy immediately into something inside.
Yes. So.
Happiness. Simple.
Yeah. So happiness and simplicity.
Yeah.
Inside. And there was a sloping towards that.
Yeah. Suddenly the wall or the
yes.
dust or whatever.
The dust mist. Or the barrier, the mist receded. And there again was what?
I'm there. I just wanted to get the practice to know how to deal with it.
Yes. So,
did I answer that?
We come back over and over again to the freedom. So over and over again, rather than focus on the stuckness, I am stuck. The mind always goes to the problem. That's the tendency. The mind grips, the mind clings. That's what it does. So we train the mind over and over again to the freedom. So finding a way. And so it's to come back. It's to listen to the Dharma. It's to loosen the grip of the mind. It's to soften that barrier. It's to open your heart again. And that's all you need to do. So we have the view or the idea sometimes that our tendencies, the tendencies of greed or of negativity or to be confused, are lying in wait for us. And that somehow we have a whole lot of them that have to unfold. This is a really incorrect view.
I wasn't there.
You don't have that view. Great. I'm just talking to these people sometimes. Okay. So, you didn't have that view, but sometimes we do. And so then, of course, we're so familiar with ourselves that we are suddenly back in the old self again because of the habit mind. So over and over again, it's a training of coming back to the freedom. So you didn't have that view. What sort of view did you have? What could you not see?
Somehow I didn't see anything besides that I'm far away from
So you saw you were far away.
And that I, and the belief, whatever that I'm stuck,
yes.
I didn't deal with this belief.
Yes. So we have to deconstruct the belief. We have to see, you know, is it true that you are far away from truth? Is it true that you are far away from freedom? Is it true?
It's not true.
It can't be. It isn't. You know it not to be true. And so the I gets tangled in the belief, I am not free. So sometimes we think I am free. The shadow of that is I am not free. There we get stuck. This is the old habit of the mind to think dualistically, to think in pairs of opposites. So we get stuck in I am free sometimes, I am not free others. But freedom has no opposite. The liberation we're talking about has no opposite. Louder, louder. He said, I know. You know. So we come back over and over again to this knowing, this profound knowing. If we touch it in this life, we are blessed. It's a blessed thing to be released from pain and sorrow and suffering. And so we need to honor that by coming back to what we know. Mm. Coming back and back.
Thank you.
Yes, come.
Daphna.
It's not on.
Okay, my name is Daphna.
Welcome.
Thank you. You talked yesterday about having no desire, and other practice also talked about accepting and even loving reality, and everything is our attitude to it. And I have a conflict in within myself that I feel that stuck my practice, because letting go all desire and wish, and I live in the city. I didn't choose the spiritual path. I have kids, I have work. I want things to achieve. I want good things for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a conflict which I can't find the balance.
Okay. What would make a desire problematic?
If I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. If we want something and we don't get it, what else would make a desire problematic?
I see also good stuff, things in it, because it pushed me, it pushed society,
I didn't ask you that. I asked you what would make desire problematic. When we don't get what we want, what else? When is desire a problem? What about when we have something we don't want? We want to get rid of it.
Yeah, but if I accept and I change my attitude, so I'm not precise to what my need is. So sometimes having desire or attraction or something
mm-hmm,
you don't
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
desire one makes an action, put us to do things.
Yes, yes.
So I see good things in it, not
mm.
only bad. I know there is suffer, and once you want less, so suffer
mm-hmm.
is the gap
mm-hmm.
between what you want and what you get. And if
yes.
if you don't want anything, there's no suffer, but then I wouldn't do things if my kids want, I won't push
okay.
them to achieve things.
Okay, I just want to clarify something. And it is the way that desire is used in the Dharma is always in the sense of it being problematic, because it's bound up with clinging. If there's a simple action that we want to do, it can be completely unproblematic. So of course you can look after your children, you can take your children to the music lessons, you can do whatever is required. But desire is problematic when we're invested in the outcome and we don't get what we want.
And you still have the same motivation to do things if...
So, take an example of... Have you done something that's been an activity, but you did it with a lot of freedom? Can you think of an example?
I do yoga and
yes.
know it's the path, it's not
yes.
it.
Exactly, I do yoga. So when you do yoga, you're doing an activity. You can say, I want to do my yoga this morning. But it doesn't have to be a problem. We can freely do the yoga. So what's the difference between that activity and the desire that you talked about that's problematic when you don't get it? What's the difference? I can act. I can do my yoga.
The yoga is the path for me.
Yeah, okay. Let's start with, when you're doing the yoga, what do you experience?
Just the moment.
Just the moment. What happens to the self when you're doing the yoga?
It's not there.
Okay, it's not problematic, is it?
Yes.
That's the difference. When we have a desire, that's... What would be another example of a desire that was problematic?
If I want to do something at work.
Yeah.
So do something which I believe is good.
Yes.
But then there is the self in it. There is, it's not the same.
Mm. Okay. So if there's freedom in this world, there needs to be freedom with all the activities of life, doesn't there? Otherwise there's no freedom. So it's not like we're going to cancel out three quarters of our life because only yoga and meditation are unproblematic. We have to find a way of being free amid all of the activities of life, don't we? Our freedom has to be in the conventional world and also there ultimately.
So how do you do this?
Okay. Let's start with the yoga. You're doing the yoga. The self is light, isn't it? Not problematic.
Yes.
So the self is not dominant. It's not ruling consciousness. There's just, how would you describe doing yoga? The experience of a yoga posture. How would you describe it?
Just unite with the breath, the body, the postures.
Yes.
Delicate standing or whatever.
So, the first sentence I didn't catch.
Just unite.
Unite. Of course. Yoga means union. So, when we're with the movement, so we can lift the arm like this, or we can lift the arm like this, you know, with attention. United. What is it you're united with? It's not the body. When you do yoga, there's the problematic self fades, and there's the unification of what?
Energy, prana.
Yes, what else?
Something with the universe, something. It's,
yeah, something much more
so
universal.
Can you do things in real life, working the same mind, the same.
Why not? It would take an activity that was not limited by the self view.
That's a hard practice.
Yeah. So when we are with our children, for example, when you're really with a child, how old are your children?
Big.
Big.
The small one is 18.
Okay.
The big one is 25.
Okay.
She's here with me.
The small one are 18, the big one 25. Once
and she's here with me.
Oh, okay. Once one of my rather large sons, the eldest ones are 40, but one of them sat on my knee when he was about in his 30s, and he said, and he said, "Mummy, I'm still little inside." So it was quite hilarious. Because he's a rather independent, free-thinking human being. But there was just this little bit of remembering. We were actually in the house where he was born. And so I was sitting in a little bay window and he came and sat on my lap. It was very cute. So even when they're 18, we can have that sweetness and connection with them, or 25 or 40 or whatever. So when you're really with your child, your adult child, what's the feeling? What's the sense?
Same energy, something.
Yes. It's the same sense of the vastness of that which is greater than your role of mother.
Much greater.
Much greater. Okay, so this is how you be free with your children. So, in the workplace, oh, this is where the I comes up, isn't it? All those other people who are bothersome at work. Okay, how can you be at work, still do your work, but have a sense of that which is not limited by the narrowness of I, me and mine? How could you be at work with the same kind of united consciousness that you're talking about?
I'll try to follow the path without the self. adopt the yoga method practice.
Yes. And so what would that mean practically? What
it's
would
just
change?
Just being in the situation, not with me.
Yes. Being in the situation, what, listening to others?
Trying to get that in the way. Okay.
You got it? So practicing kindness, seeing that which was a bit greater than what I particularly want today or what I don't want.
And not clinging to the results.
Say that louder, please.
And not clinging to the results.
Yeah, not clinging to the result. Desire is problematic when we have a big investment in the outcome and we want it our way. And this world does not cooperate, generally. And so the only way is to look at the things. And then there can be that big heart and the best qualities of the human heart that come to work and embrace your family life. Life is
thank you.
Thank you. Yes, anybody? Yes, come.
Hello.
Hello.
I feel this is kind of a recurring question, and I think we dealt with it in many different ways, but when I try to practice it, I still have some difficulties, so I'll try and ask it again. I keep having those thoughts about things that I think are pointless. For example, things I didn't do in the past, things that already happened, issues of jealousy and other people. So when those thoughts happen here, I can look at them with a little bit of, what's the word like? Yeah, I can look at them, watch them pass, and move on in here. But I know they'll come back.
Yes.
And they do, and they will come back after I finish here, and they can come back a year later again and again.
Yes.
And something in me says that I don't want to toss them into forgetfulness till they come back. I kind of want to cure them, and this is something I still don't know how. If this is my pattern that I notice, I'm trying to figure ways.
So are you telling me that you want to keep on being jealous?
Yeah, I want to know what... I kind of want like simple rules of thumb for myself when I become jealous again. So that the experience of being jealous now has served me.
Okay, so what is jealousy based on? It's a negative emotion, isn't it? What is it based on?
I think, yeah, it relates to my wants, the things
yes.
I don't think I want to get and can't, and see it in other people.
Okay, so I want something, I see somebody else has it, and I can't have it. So it's based on comparing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the eye lands outwardly on the other person and says they are what? They're like this. They're beautiful and I want them. Or give me an example.
They have accomplished something I've been wanting to accomplish for years and years.
Yes. Yes. So you see another And then the I thought arises inwardly, doesn't it? And says what?
Sense of failure.
So it's we compare, and we compare ourselves as less than the other. And then we're stuck in the duality of success and failure. The other person is successful, I am the failure. So this is the dualistic thinking again, isn't it? The thinking always in terms of the opposites. How can you live in this life intelligently with success and with failure?
I don't have that answer for that, but in here what I am able to do is to put myself aside at least.
Ah. So here you are, the other person's successful. The I is a failure, according to you. So the sense of I says, I am a failure. Then you're saying, I can put myself aside. How would you do that?
I am normally just... It's very new to me, but I tend to just look at it in a more... like with a little bit more of understanding, I suppose,
yeah.
Towards myself in that situation, to try to use it. And also another thing that helps me is coming back to the balance, which could be breathing or walking, whatever it is I'm doing now. So this particular situation, it helps.
Okay.
But what I'm afraid is that I'm just putting it aside.
Yes, you're ignoring an issue.
Yes.
And not dealing with this tendency to jealousy. Okay, so the basis in this case is comparison. It's the formation of self, you, which you see as less than the other person who's successful. Our identity wraps itself around this notion of self, and we're either superior to, equal to, or less than. This is the movement of mind. This is the movement of I that we need to see. What do you know about success and failure?
It's relative.
Yeah, it's relative.
It's also a matter of choice, I suppose, if you want to look at something as successful.
Yes. So it can be a judgment, but... Do you know anyone who's been totally and utterly successful and never failed in anything?
Yeah, no.
Not possible. So it's one of the Buddha called it one of the eight worldly conditions. It's one of the things that we need to face. So how can we be steady in the face of success and failure? Is the question.
I suppose it has to do with not wanting to be one specific thing.
Yeah, so we see the movement of the mind to want what the other has, to appropriate, to claim, to be like the other person. And we see the pressure that that puts on ourselves, ourself. Then, we need to look and go, okay, can I be steady whether I'm a so-called failure or success? Inverted commas.
You mean can I be steady no matter the outcome?
Yes.
Steady in terms of what I
But sometimes I will feel like I fail. Sometimes I will feel like I succeed. It's a given in this life. So we have to face the dualities of life, but not be caught in just one side.
perhaps any guidance to and add to the moment thoughts like this arise. And
okay, so the thought, I am a failure. Well, can you please give me a good reason why you're a failure? Or tell me why I should look at you and say, this young man sitting here is a failure?
There are a couple, no, but
No.
Yeah, I don't think there are reasons to
No,
say
it doesn't have truth, does it?
No.
Okay. So we look and we see, is this really true? The I thought says, I am a failure because I've compared myself with the other, who is a glorious success, so called. It's a view, isn't it?
Can I just ask, even if it's not related to anyone else, jealousy
yes.
can be undirected to me, for me
yes.
at least. It can be just simply something that I want
yes.
for many years,
yes.
haven't achieved,
yes.
right? And yeah, it's the same story.
Yeah, it's
right?
the same story of desire and
yeah.
wanting, and wanting things a particular way, and then concluding that there's therefore something wrong with me.
But realistically speaking, I tried and couldn't do it, which maybe is fine, but it's still, I mean, you could tag some things as unsuccessful, right?
Sure, you can say, well, I tried to do this and it didn't work out. But then saying I am a failure is a totally different thing, isn't it? Because that's a huge pressure to put on yourself. That's quite different from something didn't work out, so I'll try again, or I'll try a different way, I'll change the conditions, see what happens, see if there's a different result.
And this is all about the second arrow again, right?
Yes, it's the second arrow, of course.
Yeah.
There's the event, and then there's all the story based on self and identity and memory and imagination and the entanglement of our views that we have about ourselves. It's the second A. The first one is bad enough. This life is difficult enough. Let's not make it harder. Okay, so we need to be steady in the face of all of the dualities, pleasure and pain. What else?
Success and failure.
And
failure.
The dark and the light. We need to be steady in the face of that. Winning and losing. Praise and blame. Connection, disconnection. And look and see, oh, there I go, comparing myself again. And let it go. Because comparison is the source of extraordinary unhappiness. Okay, thank you for the question. We're just sitting together quietly. sometimes in life we can touch into great freedom. We can have periods of weeks, months, perhaps years of feeling rather free. And then, of course, the I can settle upon this and cling on to the notion that I am free. And when this happens, of course, it comes with its shadow. I am not free. So we need to be very careful here. Our freedom is found ultimately, but the freedom that the Buddha spoke about was not just freedom that we can touch into when we touch the vast and the immeasurable and the formless states of mind and beyond, but also freedom in this conventional world. So the freedom needs to be found in our everyday life as well. So as we bring up our children, as we go to work, as we do the everyday tasks, we need to understand the movement of mind and where it gets caught and bound up. And of course we heard in the second inquiry how when we have an investment in some result, we want something a particular way, then the sense of I gets caught. And this is problematic desire. But if we can approach it remembering a more unified approach, if you like, or an approach that isn't, that doesn't come from within the narrowness of the self, the me. So if we can see not with the self, but break the barrier, see beyond it, and bring that sense of freedom to the conditioned, to the limited, then what we see is that life unfolds incredibly freely. It's problematic when the sense of self gets in the way. And so one way of remembering what we know is to come back to our deep understanding, whether that's a spiritual experience, whether that's the freedom we experience when we do our yoga practice. Or for some of you, it will be a sense of freedom in the sitting practice or the walking practice. So we come back to that knowing. And from there, we look at the issue, whether it's something at work. And then we say, is there a way I can act in accordance with that deepest knowing? And this action in accordance with freedom or our deepest knowing is right view. This is what the Buddha called right view, an action that's in accordance with truth. And so this is our task, remembering over and over again that which we know, how wisdom can be accessed within us. So we come back to that knowing. And of course, with the third inquiry, a very important issue where we see ourselves being caught up in comparing ourselves with others. How often do we do that? We compare ourselves in all kinds of ways. Our standard of living, our appearance, our looks, how much money we have, how compassionate we are, how kind we are, or how self-centered we are. We do this all the time. And we either see ourselves as less than, equal to, or better than. So we think we know best, or we're right, or we think we're inferior to. And rarely do we see each other as equals. If we could see each other as equals, there would be no war anywhere. Because we would see the humanity of the other part of our practice is the seeing of the dualities that we get caught in. Seeing if the duality in this case was success and failure. It's not true that you're a failure. It is just the view. So we need to loosen the grip of the view over and over again. So our practice is about freeing the heart and mind, coming back to our deepest knowing, and letting that inform our actions in the world. Then we act with wisdom. Thank you to the three who inquired, and thank you for your kind attention and deep listening.